EASA awards Diamond a type certificate for the AustroPower DA42. Garmin now has a G1000 for the King Air 200. And the CDC says somebody with tuberculosis flew on a Northwest flight. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 17, 2009. Diamond Aircraft tells ANN it received the much-anticipated European Aviation Safety Type Certificate for its DA42NG, powered by the 170-horsepower Austro engine AE300 turbodiesel. That happened on Friday. The engine is intended as a replacement for aerodiesel engines previously sourced from now-bankrupt T-Alert aircraft engines. In the words of CEO Christian Dries, quote, "We are delighted to be able to resume volume deliveries of the DA42, less than 11 months after the insolvency of TAE. The DA42NG is better in every respect, with much improved performance, increased gross weight, even better fuel efficiency, and the Garmin GFC700 autopilot, and is prepared for Garmin Synthetic Vision System," unquote. Regarding owners who have the TAE power plants, he continued, quote, "Most important to the existing customer base, we are focusing our efforts to achieve the certification of the optional upgrade of all delivered DA42s with the Austro engine, such that all customers can benefit from these improvements along with comprehensive customer support for their engines," unquote. Over 500 DA42s were delivered with T-Alert turbodiesels. The Garmin G1000 juggernaut rolls on. The company announced yesterday the FAA has granted supplemental type certification for the G1000 in the King Air 200 and B200. Gary Kelly, Garmin's VP of Marketing, commented, quote, "We've gone to great lengths to make sure customers who upgrade to this panel have the same leading-edge technologies they would find in a jet while also enjoying the utility and affordability of their King Air. This retrofit is available to most King Air 200 B200 aircraft today because the STC takes into account the most common King Air configurations, such as Black Hawk engines," unquote. The three-panel G1000 suite for the King Air includes the GFC700 three-axis dual-channel autopilot system and will typically save 100 pounds over the legacy equipment it replaces. Find out more on approved installation locations using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The Centers for Disease Control are working to contact 17 passengers from a Northwest Airlines flight earlier this month after one passenger was found to have tuberculosis. Bloomberg reports the plane involved was Flight 51 from Frankfurt to Detroit on March 10th. Customs officials discovered the unidentified man was infected after he landed, and he was taken to a local hospital. He's reportedly responding well to treatment. CDC spokeswoman Shelley Diaz says the risk of TB transmission is very low, but both the Atlanta-based lab and Northwest are taking steps to contain the disease. According to the World Health Organization, about a third of the world's population carries the bacteria, though not everyone who's a carrier becomes ill. CDC figures show 13,299 U.S. cases of TB in 2007. That's the last year for which figures were available. After being caught off guard last week, officials at NASA are keeping close track of yet another chunk of space trash that threatens to come uncomfortably close to the International Space Station. The shuttle Discovery has a rendezvous with the station scheduled today. The Associated Press reports the 4-inch-long chunk of debris from a Soviet-era satellite that broke up in 1981 may come within a half mile of the ISS, but trackers say the object's erratic orbit makes it difficult to predict. If the station's orbit is adjusted to evade the debris, Discovery's orbit would also need adjustment. Ironically, it has been speculated that the old Cosmos 1275 military satellite, from which today's debris drama originated, was itself the victim of collision with debris shortly after launch. At the time, Soviet scientists claimed an onboard battery exploded. In related news, the now routine inspection of Discovery's heat shield shows it came through its launch with no apparent damage, and video recorded during the launch showed no significant incidences of insulating foam from the external tank striking the delicate underside of the orbiter. Up next, the FAA retreats to rulemaking on its new crew rest minima. Oil is cheaper this year, but refining is way cheaper. And coalition forces confirm the downing of an Iranian UAV over Iraq. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 17th. I'm Paul Platt. In the face of considerable resistance and a threatened lawsuit from the airlines, the FAA has backed down on imposing new crew rest requirements for long-haul flights until a formal rulemaking process can be conducted. As ANN reported, the FAA had drafted new requirements based on a voluntary plan adopted in 2006 by Delta after negotiations with its pilots. The change was intended to address new longer-range airliners, which have rendered decades-old rules about minimum crew rest requirements obsolete. But the airlines pushed back, saying that while there is scientific evidence that the longer flights require changes to manage fatigue, the FAA needed to go through the formal process to gather the best available data on which to base a new rule set. The Wall Street Journal reports the initiative would have mandated longer layovers for pilots and could have required some carriers to redesign cabins to provide additional sleeping areas for flight crews. Airlines also worried that doing an end run around the formal rulemaking process could set a precedent, allowing the FAA to bypass the process on other issues in the future. The National Transportation Safety Board has been after the FAA for years to impose tougher, wide-ranging fatigue prevention rules. The recession has been almost uniformly bad news for airlines, but the industry is finding a silver lining. Jet A fuel is piling up at refineries, causing its price to plummet. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the cost of refining jet fuel has fallen from about $25.50 per barrel of crude oil a year ago to an average of $21 in January, $15 in February, and last week, $4 a barrel. For airlines which hedged too much of their 2009 fuel needs at prices which now seem high, the drop in what's called the crack spread, or the cost of refining, is especially good news. The hedge contracts lock in the cost of oil per barrel, but not the refining costs. John Heimlich, chief economist for the Air Transport Association, calls the savings for airlines significant. He says refiners who shifted production capacity to jet fuel as auto gasoline consumption declined have now created a glut. Quote, "There is a time lag in terms of how quickly they can shift their refining, so you still have a lot of excess inventory," unquote. A $1 drop in refining costs saves the industry an estimated $400 million a year. But noting that the crack spread rose suddenly to $60 a barrel after Hurricane Katrina, Heimlich is cautious in his optimism. Quote, "We'll enjoy it while we have it and take every penny we can get," unquote. Delta's hope to realize $2 billion in annual savings by smoothly and quickly merging operations with those of Northwest Airlines has hit a snag, and a not-so-unpredictable one. The Detroit News reports that two unions representing more than 16,000 pre-merger employees of Northwest are balking at holding certification elections needed to fully merge employee groups. The Association of Flight Attendants and International Association of Machinists both stand to win big if the combined workforce votes for union representation. But a majority of workers in both crafts come from the Delta side, which was non-union before the merger. If the vote by a combined workforce turns out to be no, a union could lose the right to represent members from the former Northwest, along with millions of dollars in income from dues. From Delta's perspective, getting seniority and union issues settled is considered crucial to meeting goals for employee morale and customer satisfaction. The Association of Flight Attendants says it is not scheduled a vote, but expects one soon. The union is reportedly pressing the Obama administration to replace Reid Vandewater as president of the National Mediation Board, which oversees the certification votes. Vandewater is a former Northwest Airlines lobbyist. The IAM has not scheduled a vote and has been hostile in its rhetoric. In response to Delta's call for an election, Union President Stephen Gordon warned, quote, "Be assured that we will not allow you to roll over our members," unquote. In contrast to the union politics raging within the company, Delta is moving forward with a unified brand strategy and will debut a single set of uniforms for use by all domestic employees by the end of this month. Multinational Force Iraq officials confirmed yesterday that coalition jet fighters shot down an Iranian drone that was hovering over Iraq late last month. They said the incident happened February 25th, about 60 miles northeast of Baghdad. Unofficial reports of the encounter surfaced last week on the Wired.com Danger Room blog. According to official statements, two coalition aircraft were directed to visually identify the UAV after it was detected hovering inside the Iraqi border. It was engaged more than an hour later. Officials believe the drone was an Iranian-made Ababil 3. Quote, "This was not an accident on the part of the Iranians. The UAV was in Iraqi airspace for nearly 1 hour and 10 minutes and well inside Iraqi territory before it was engaged," unquote. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has called Iranian interference in Iraq, quote, "one of the significant challenges that we're going to face over the next several years," unquote. Still ahead, who has a great year during a recession? The repo man. A pilot walks away from a Cirrus chute deployment, and it will be a Wednesday to remember. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Paul Plack. It's been said that there are few things more expensive than an airplane sitting unused in a hangar. With a recession grounding many general aviation aircraft, many owners of those aircraft are not saving enough money to be able to afford to keep them. Enter the Grim Reaper. Ken Hill of Santa Barbara, California, is a 66-year-old pilot and aircraft dealer who works as a repo man on behalf of lenders whose customers default on their loans. While the costs of storing a repossessed aircraft make repo a last resort for lenders, Hill says he was sent to retrieve 50 planes in 2008, and this year, quote, it could be 100, unquote. Hill tells the New York Times his last trip recovered 12 aircraft from 8 states. He's currently on a mission which will involve 27 repos over 6 weeks. He says it's his biggest assignment in 40 years. There are some differences between Hill's work and the stereotype of the guy in dark clothing who comes in the night to take cars away. Hill has mechanics inspect planes before he flies them away, and owners who can get caught up with the lender are given an opportunity to pay. Hill says when that happens, he simply charges his client for trip expenses. But obviously, some delinquent owners don't let their planes leave without a fight. Hill notes, quote, I once had a lady chase me through a hangar with a yard rake. I just tell them I have a job to do. If they did what they were supposed to do, I wouldn't be here, unquote. The pilot of a Cirrus SR-22 is reported uninjured after deploying the plane's airframe ballistic recovery chute over Gaithersburg, Maryland, Sunday afternoon. Local media report the aircraft departed Montgomery County Airpark about 1:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Local responders say the pilot reported mechanical problems and was attempting to return when the plane began losing altitude. The ballistic chute dropped the plane in trees near the entrance to the Flower Hill subdivision along Stouffer School Road, which runs parallel to the runway about a tenth of a mile west of the airport. Photos show the plane's empennage and left wing separated, but the passenger cell and firewall forward largely intact. Witnesses estimated the plane was between 200 and 400 feet above the ground when the chute deployed. 88-year-old retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Stanton Rickey was presented with an odd bit of memorabilia last week. Two German men located pieces of Rickey's downed B-17 on their farm and traveled to the U.S. last week to meet Rickey. Kurt Hauber was only 11 when Rickey, who was then 23, was shot down by Luftwaffe fighters over his family's Bavarian farm on July 18, 1944. But his vivid memories of that day inspired his nephew Ludwig to acquire a metal detector and search for the plane's wreckage. Rickey told the Arizona Republic, quote, they not only found my aircraft, they expanded the search of the entire area and located other crash sites of American and German aircraft. It's been super cultivating friendships with them. We've become very close because of our shared experience, unquote. Ricky had received orders to bomb a manufacturing plant that was building the Messerschmitt ME-262. His group of 26 bombers encountered 200 German fighters. He says 14 of the 26 bombers were shot down. Quote, I was the last one out of the airplane. We were hit at 25,000 feet, and I got out about 5,000 feet as the plane was spinning. That's 140 people, and 40% of them were killed, unquote. Ricky was subsequently taken to a prisoner of war camp. Last Friday, Ricky and the Haubers were treated to a complimentary ride on a North American B-25H Mitchell bomber operated by Warbirds Unlimited Foundation at Falcon Field Airport in Mesa. Ricky said the Haubers have helped bring closure for him and to the mission in which so many of his fellow aviators paid the ultimate price. And finally today, it's March. It's now the second half of March. That means that pretty soon it will be April 1st. And that means that a couple of Wednesdays from now, you'll laugh, you'll cry, only to find out that you've been had. We here at Aero News look forward to our annual opportunity to lampoon the news we cover the rest of the year. Whether it's stunning the world with the first photos of Boeing's new twin fuselage airliner, or seeing internet forums erupt with debate over AOPA's user fee settlement with the FAA, it's some of the best fun we have all year. This will be the last warning we're going to give you because to do it anymore would spoil the fun. It's also an invitation. Some of our funniest bits over time have come from listener suggestions. If you have an idea for an April Fool's Day story, or just see something or someone out there that desperately needs lampooning this year, don't hesitate to drop us a note. Send it to editor@aero-news.net. Now, that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with FAA Safety Team National Director Kevin Clover and Advocate for Aviation Safety Foundation Executive Director Paul Berger about the new Aero News Bug for Windows computers. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.